Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Spring is here, and so are the critters. If critters are making themselves at home in your home, call Critter Control, serving the Pine Belt and Gulf Coast. They'll remove those pests and keep them out for good. Call Nathan at 601-467-9341. Critter Control. Get them out, keep them out.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Kind of an overcast Monday, but spirits are definitely high here in Hattiesburg. What a great weekend for Southern Miss sports. And before we get to baseball, let me just say kudos to the men's basketball team for a huge win Saturday night. And we'll be talking more about basketball a little later in the show.
And the women.
And the women as well. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. Bob Kelly, Dima, glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show. Every day sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Great place to take your family for a wonderful meal tonight. It's Monday. It's baseball season. We have Coach Christian Ostrander with us every Monday. And the Golden Eagles win a really dramatic and exciting weekend series over Cal Santa Barbara this weekend. And, Coach, before we get into any specifics, just your overall observation, really good team you scheduled for the opening weekend, and it was quite a heavyweight fight for 3 days, wasn't it?
It certainly was. I think as advertised, you know, we knew what was coming. We knew how, you know, tough it was going to be and kind of where that team was this year and what, you know, that they like, you know, what they like about their team. So, yeah, but, you know, our guys, man, they responded just great and competed their tails off, in my opinion.
No question. And Coach, if you look at the overall series, if you could just evaluate one thing about the overall series, I would say the Golden Eagles won the series because the bullpen proved to be deeper, very talented, but deep enough to get you through three games against a really high-caliber opponent.
Well, I think it was a huge factor. Obviously, our offense just kept grinding and grinding.
Right.
But the bullpen being able to keep the games close, to not let it get too far, you know, away from you. And I think so. I think, you know, we have guys that you didn't see that they're going to be getting out there. And so we're still figuring out. I think that depth in that bullpen, you know, is still a little greater than what we just saw this weekend. So very excited that has a characteristic, could be a characteristic of our team this year, is that a depthy bullpen.
As I guess, when you schedule teams like this, you expect it to be tremendously good competition, and it delivered, of course. But how big of a series win is this just for you guys, just to for these players to feel it? And I know it's a veteran team, and they felt moments like that before, but even for some of the young players as well. But, just to get that this series win and the ups and downs in all three of the games, I mean – both of the games you won, y'all were down, you know, for a lot of the game, and y'all found a way to come back, and that just has to be so big, especially this early in the season.
It is. I mean, you know, there's so many things we can take away from this weekend, so many coaching points, if you will, so many things that you know you're going to have to be able to do down the road or multiple times. And, we call writing a story here. We like, you know, going, but each game's a chapter, and they can always go back and flip the pages and remember what we did in chapter, you know, 1, 2, or 3 and draw from it. You know, if you do something once, you can do it again. But, our objective is to win every series. Obviously, that's the chase, right? And when you're fortunate enough to have a chance to go for a sweep, that's, you know, those are valuable too. But, you know, winning series first and foremost, and to be able to get this one, you know, after a, you know, losing game one, against a really good arm. You know, I just so proud of the guys for how they fought, and the new guys really got to see what it's like here, our fan base is like here, what the atmosphere is like here, and really what it's going to feel like to play. You know, that was postseason atmosphere, mm-hmm. and they got a little taste of that.
I know we talked about it on the field after the game on Friday, but their guy, Jackson Flora, on Friday, I would say, as advertised, one of the best arms that's ever pitched at Pete Taylor Park.
I would have to agree. I mean, that was very special, you know, and wish that young man, you know, health and everything throughout the season, and he's got a bright future for sure. So it was tough. It was a tough assignment on our hitters, and our guys battled, as you know, as hard as good as they could.
Mechanically, technically, Coach, would you describe Flora for us and why everybody is thinking that he might be a top three pick in the MLB draft?
Well, I mean, you know, he's got the build. You know, I shook his hand, I think Saturday, and I saw him in our weight room again, his recovery work, and just said, man, you know, congrats, good, you know, wish you the best. Shook his hand, and his fingers dang near touched my elbow when he shook my hand. I mean, so he's, you know, he's built well. And but no, it's obviously arm strength. It's high end velocity, but then he had three off speed pitches that would come out of the same spot, you know, and they all did different. He had a harder spin and a slower spin. Then he had a change up. So there was a ton of different speeds that you're gearing up. So when you have to honor the 98.7 mile an hour heater to 100, well, I mean, it's just, what are you going to do? So he had a very clean delivery that everything came out of the same spot. And he had a lot of separation from his velocity to his off speed. And that makes it real tough.
Yeah, to be that good that early in the season is remarkable.
Right, yeah, no question. No doubt. Coach, let's go back to a couple of your guys. I don't want to just single one or two players out because they all played well, but very impressed with the relief appearance of Josh Ock, who had struggled some last year. But you told me off air, Josh, I know you think he pitched really well and that he could be a huge piece in your bullpen lineup.
He's got really hard stuff to barrel, you know, and when he's doing what he's doing, when he's capable of going out there and getting you 2-3-4 innings and just really putting a, you know, throttle on the offense, and we're going to need that. You know, we need multiple back-end bullpen pieces that can come and stop stuff, and I think we have the possibility of that. And, you know, but he looks great. You know, Coach Leger's done a great job with him and helped him add a little bit of a cutter that has really allowed him to have another option to throw more consistently when, you know, to get him off a fastball. So, I like this. I like where he's at, and he just got to keep going and hopefully continue to improve.
And then there's this new face. Kelly knew about him because Kelly goes to Pearl River a lot, but Camden Clark, he came with the Heat, Coach. It looks like you found yourself a closer.
Yeah, he's got that personality, makeup. He's a competitor. He's not scared. A high-end strike thrower with really good stuff, and that's a good combination. And, you know, but no, exactly. I'm not going to be arrogant and say, oh, I knew he was going to do that. But that's what we expected. You know, I think he would tell you the same thing. But he's very capable, and I thought he showed a lot of poise, you know, handling the one on Saturday, the first time doing it. It's easy to let your adrenaline get the best of you a little bit, but he was stoic. And then yesterday, last night after, you know, that drop pop up and then the triple off the wall and tie game, it's easy to lose the adrenaline. And he didn't. And he stayed in there. And that's just, again, another teaching point, another something he can put in his own story and always draw from.
Not a question, but just a comment. I am so glad that Ty Long miscue did not cost you guys the game.
Yes, yeah.
Sometimes we just take things for granted. You know,
the ball not only dropped, but about 6,000 hearts dropped when that ball hit the ground. Did yours drop a little bit, Coach?
No, it was tough. I ain't gonna lie, it was tough. And you know, baseball's got a way of saying, "All right, we ain't gonna let you get away with this." You know, and but no, I'm thankful too. I'm thankful too. And you know, Ty. 99 out of 100, he's going to catch those.
So, and he came back with a big walk, Coach, in the bottom of the ninth.
Huge part of the game there, sure was.
Coach, there was one really fascinating point of the game yesterday afternoon to me. The game's on the line. The series is on the line. High drama, and you bring in a true freshman in Dylan Causey, and he just – what does he do? He just comes in and strikes out two people like he had been doing that for the past 4 years.
Yeah, that was a neat moment, you know. So, you know, and I think I said this. I was hoping I wouldn't have to throw any of those freshmen to the wolves, you know, in their first time. Let them find some, you know, stress-free, you know, indoctrination. But didn't happen that way. And, you know, we chose him for a reason, and we believed in him in that spot, and based on what he's shown us. And he's got ice in his veins, too. And, you know, I was very proud of him, you know, how he handled that moment.
And from a psychological standpoint, a kid like that comes in, and he's got to be thinking to himself, yeah, I can do this. I can pitch in Division I baseball.
100%. Yeah, he already thought that, I guarantee you that. But now he just, you know, confidence is a real thing, and you got to acquire confidence, you know, by, you know, things that you do. And so certainly that's something that he can use as a building block.
All right, give it an overall grade as we head to the break, Coach, and then we'll talk about what's ahead next. But how would you grade the weekend?
Are we doing a letter scale, number
scale? Let's do a letter scale, Coach.
All right, I'm going to give it an A-.
All right, I would be with you on that. Yeah, I would be with you on that.
B+ or A-. So.
Yeah. And I guess we have to give an A to our insane fan base. I mean, it is pouring rain 10 minutes before the game starts Sunday. And as soon as the rain stopped, they poured into the stands, didn't they, Coach?
Man, I was so thankful for that and so appreciative. And because then when I was walking out and I was like, oh, man, this is going to affect the crowd and we need this. And, man, they showed up. And that's awesome. It's so powerful.
Coach Christian Ostrander on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll continue our conversation with Coach. Lots of baseball this week. We'll talk about that coming up.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Second segment of the Eagle Hour is sponsored by Eagle Tire West. They're on Highway 98 West. Full service auto and truck service. Goodyear premium Goodyear product. Kelly says they're the best. That's who they use at the Indy 500. Next to Smith Motor Company, Highway 98 West. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service. Big Southern Miss support. And they're moving pretty fast on them tires at Indianapolis, aren't they, Kelly?
And they're called Goodyear Eagles, the name of the tires.
Well, they named it after the baseball team.
Of course.
No question.
Of course.
Bo Babinier Company, 2902 Hardy Street. That's a great place for a good dessert. They're big Southern Miss fans, too.
And if you want a tire around your belly, you can eat a bunch of those.
Go eat a lot of Bo Babinier. Yeah. D1 poll out today. Golden Eagles remain number 20 in the nation, move up two spots in Baseball America to number 21. As they get ready for what's going to be a tough week. It all starts tomorrow night, Coach. And I don't know, all my years of following Southern Miss baseball, I've just never seen it easy when you go to Southeast Louisiana.
No, they got a good team. They had a tough weekend. They're searching for their first win. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be ready. There's no doubt about it. It's Mardi Gras. It's going to be rocking down there, I think. It always is, it seems like, when we go down there. So, yeah, it's going to be a fight.
Yeah. Coach, what pitchers did you not use this weekend that you think may see some time in this midweeker?
I think hold on, get my rock. Pod last for that. Teague Broadhead, he was up and down yesterday. Sam Mitchell, KL Farr. Freshman Bruce Littleton, Logan Pratt, Jake Neely, Michael Wascom, you know, just to name a few. That I know that was a lot, but we need to get them out there and see what they can do. We still have Drake Meeks, you know, and Chase Adams are close to being back. Mm-hmm. So there's still, you know, things to uncover.
Have you decided a starter for tomorrow night?
Yeah, we're going to go Camden Sundstrom. He's going to get the ball, get us out of the gate, and I'm sure we'll see a good amount of arms tomorrow.
Obviously, when you get past, you know, Southeastern Louisiana tomorrow night, you know, huge weekend tournament, and just really, I guess, just how awesome is it to represent the university in these tournaments and kind of a name for the program, I guess, to be starting to get invited back to these things?
No, it's awesome. It's great for the program, great for our fans. And if everybody ends up in Round Rock that has told me that they're going to be there from Southern Miss, then we're going to have a really, really good contingency there. And that's exciting. And so I think it's going to be a great fan experience, beautiful ballpark. And from everything I've been told, and you know, is that they provide a really good atmosphere for the fans too. So we look forward to it. It's going to be a great competition. It's going to be hard, but we're kind of used to that.
And I know, Coach, you had talked some time ago about how it happened, but to refresh the memories of some of our listeners as to how you got the opportunity to play in this tournament in Round Rock, how did that come about?
Yeah, a gentleman from the company that runs these tournaments, Nate Woodridge, reached out to me probably about 3 years ago. And, kind of kicking those tires. And, they have three different places, really four, that they put on these type, of tournaments and wanted to know if we were interested. And I said, absolutely. And there you go. So, we'll have another one next year. I won't give away any more than that. And the possibility of another one the year after that and so forth. So it's it's good. I think it's a neat way to go and play against some, top 50 RPI type programs, and just get away and have a good experience doing it.
And the fact that Southern Miss was one of the schools that got invited, if that doesn't tell you something about the legitimacy of Southern Miss baseball, because I'm sure these organizers in these nationwide tournaments could handpick just about anybody they wanted. So yeah. Congratulations.
Anybody would want to go play in that, wouldn't they, Coach?
I would think so. Yeah, I think it's pretty good. They take care of some things for you too. I mean, it's nice. It's done well, and again, we look forward to to getting down there and representing our university and just make them proud.
Out of all the things, Coach, that maybe you want to probably see some improvement on is the starting pitching over the past weekend. I guess this week, how do you want to? What do you want to see from those guys to get ready for this weekend at Round Rock?
Just just kind of settled in, just exhale a little bit, and there's a lot of motion was built up on the firsts, and and sometimes it can cripple you a little bit. But Colby, I thought he was fine. I don't think he would like to take back one or two pitches from that night, and if he executed those, and you're looking at five innings, maybe six with one run. I mean, that's not bad against a good team, we have a high standard for him, right? We expect perfection, and that's not fair. But I'm excited. He's going to be ready to go on Friday. Graydon, he disappointed. He didn't throw well. Some self-inflicted wounds and stuff. But he knows that, and he'll be ready to get back on that horse and compete. And I thought McCarty was kind of right where I wanted him. Our goal was 55 pitches, and I think we pulled him at 52 after three innings. Mm-hmm. I was hoping that could have been scattered out a little bit longer, but, the other team had something to do with that. But I thought he looked good. I thought he was pounding the zone. So we just got to keep building off of it and just take it, one week at a time.
Coach, kind of put in perspective this weekend competition. Purdue, I don't think many of us know much about Purdue baseball. Baylor, I think, traditionally a pretty good baseball program. And Oregon State, traditionally a great baseball program, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're going to have to play good baseball every game to have a chance to win, and that's just – I know I sound like a broken record with that, but it's so true. It's not who you play. It's how you play, mm-hmm. In my opinion. It's just because you can play really, really well. If you do, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You got a chance to win. And if you don't play well, doesn't matter who you're playing, you got a great chance to lose. So that's all we're really focused on, but look forward to the competition.
Right. Coach, there was another pitcher that I did mean to ask you about. I wanted to get your observation. That's the Crabtree kid that came here from Tennessee. What was your observation about his initial performance?
I thought it was good. We've seen some really good moments out of him and some that were, not as good and throughout our scrimmages and fall and going into the spring. But felt good about using him in that role there. We needed another length guy and a guy that can cut multiple outs. And McCarty goes three, he goes two. All right, now you got four more innings to figure out. You just needed somebody to try to get you a little bit of length. And I thought he did a fine job. And I expect him to kind of build off of that.
Yeah. Any thoughts, any last-second thoughts, Coach, as we get ready for what's going to be a really challenging weekend? Four games, is that right? Four games this week.
No, I mean, I'm just proud of our guys and the maturity they showed. There was no panic, but that's what an older offensive lineup group, you know, that should be a case. And then just very pleased with how our bullpen really, you know, pitched on the weekend, and that those two combined, you know, helped us win a series against a really good opponent.
Yeah, one final thought. You, 6 home runs on a weekend where it's kind of damp and cool. Yeah.
All by different players,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that bodes real well for when the weather gets warm, doesn't it, Coach?
Yeah, I think there's some good chance for this team to slug. So it's, you know, that's what we need to do because that's kind of how we're built a little bit. So, yeah, it was a good start, good opening weekend, and now we just got to focus on the next one.
All right, Coach, as always, we really appreciate your time. We look forward to talking to you again next Monday about Round Rock.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, Coach Christian Ostrander, everybody. Demo, overall, he said A-. I think that's right there. I think
you'd
want some improvement in your – you want some improvement in your starting pitching.
Yeah.
And you want maybe a little more consistency in your lineup. But other than that, a good weekend.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you can nitpick some things. You know, A-, maybe a little higher than I would have put it. I would have put it more probably B+, B- sort of thing, because that starting pitching has got to be better. And you know, he and Ostrander and the players know that, and he's right to say that Allen was probably one or two pitches away from going longer. But Graydon Harrison and McCarty English only going 3 innings, like, you need them longer than that. You need more sustain there. The lineup itself, you know, had – promising moments. Morrison had a great Friday, then he went 0 for the rest of the weekend. Gillespie was not good until the Sunday game when he had that double with 5 strikeouts. Higdon wasn't great. You know, you had some promise in your body lineup with Stockman and Long, looked pretty decent. So there's a lot of piecing together, and of course it's the first weekend, and you can't overstate how good those arms were that they were facing. But you know, there's definitely some things to nitpick. But if you want to be at the level where Southern Miss baseball needs to be, these things that we nitpick have to be at elite level, right, to be where they want to be at the end of the season. So when you nitpick these things early in the season, and then in the end of the season, you see how much better they were than week one. You see the improvement, but this weekend is not good enough, I think, for Southern Miss baseball where they want to go.
Kelly, I think, and I want to get to you real quick, Kelly, he used that word elite, and I think that has become the expectation.
Yes.
Elite performance, not good performance.
Correct.
And when you have a team that isn't maybe clicking necessarily on all cylinders, and you still win 2 out of 3
exactly.
against a quality
exactly.
team like Cal Santa Barbara, that should tell you how good this Southern Miss team is. And as far as he named all those pitchers that haven't gotten to work yet, one of the best things that this Southern Miss team has as far as pitching goes is the competition level amongst those guys. And he talked about the freshman coming in knowing that he can pitch at the Division I level. All pitchers think that way. Mm-hmm. And that's how they get better, is competing amongst themselves for that bigger piece of pie. So I think the Southern Miss pitching staff is set up to do great things.
Dylan Causey was impressive to be a baby, wasn't
he? And he wasn't my first choice freshman to come out of the pen. Sam Mitchell would be my first choice, and they haven't even seen him yet.
Right.
And so we'll see what happens.
All right, big basketball win Saturday night. Great, great win for the men. We're going to talk about women and men's basketball. Softball played this weekend. Track and field. It was just a good weekend to be a Southern Miss fan. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
Thanks to Coach Oz for joining us. He'll be with us every Monday throughout the rest of the season. Travis Creel, of course, joins us on Wednesdays. This segment is sponsored by DBAT down on Hardy Street, state-of-the-art baseball, softball training. Beautiful facility, great pro shop. I'm sure they got a lot of classes and camps and stuff for kids right now, so check them out down at DBAT. Also, if you're out, say hello to our good friends, please, at Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Well, so let's switch gears. Let's go to basketball. Women win a good game. Doubleheader here Saturday.
Tripleheader.
Nice comeback for the women. And Dima, put in perspective how big this win was over first place Troy.
For the men?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was big. It was just a nice confidence booster for them heading into the back last few games for the men. You know, they don't play at all this week until Saturday when they play a struggling Old Dominion team. And so, yeah, it was a really big win. Of course, we all questioned about what it would be like when Tavares is back. Could he give them a boost? And they played Troy pretty tough when they went over there a couple weeks ago, and then that game kind of just got away from them at the end. But, yeah, they were able to, you know, play well and pull out the win there. And, you know, Kelly, it's funny when you look at the standings, Southern Miss right now ninth in the standings, but they're only three games back from the lead, which is kind of crazy when you put it in retrospect just how jumbled that those standings are. But they're going to play ODU, who's second to last in the standings on Saturday, a chance for them to get one, and they would be 500 in the league if they could win that game at 8-8. And if you hope some teams lose in front of you, they're actually kind of in a decent spot to have a good seed.
Well, that is good news. However, the bad news is then the remaining two games are on the road.
Yeah, at South Alabama and I can't remember
at Troy, isn't it?
No, they've already played at Troy.
Okay, all right. So South Al is one of those teams that they're going to play is pretty good.
Arkansas State.
Another good team. Strong team at home. So. But here's the crazy thing. Because nobody wants to run away and hide in the standings, Southern Miss, after, you know, getting Isaac Tavares back, have been a completely different team. All right, Tavares on Saturday had 11 points. Benet had 14. Benet's continuing to play well. Weeks, 32 points in that game Saturday. And I'm going to get back to the point I was going to make in a minute, but some things that the Eagles are doing really well, and we talked about this in the production meeting before the show. Free throw percentage for Southern Miss continues to be off the chart.
Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
They really shoot free throws well. They made 13 out of 16. Troy only made 9 of 16. Okay, the free throw or the field goal percentage, Troy actually shot it better, 44.5% to Southern Miss's 40%. But the Eagles continued to take care of the basketball. They only turned it over 10 times. Troy turned it over 15 times. But this was the big one. The points off of the turnovers. Troy only scored 6 points off of the turnovers. The Eagles scored 19 points off of turnovers. So the Eagles are taking care of the basketball, and then when they go to the free throw line, they're making the baskets. But where I was going with this other thing with the standings, all right, you've got Tavares back. If they can go on just a little bit of a roll, you got 3 games left in the regular season. They don't play at all this week until Saturday. You go on a little 3-game roll and then head into the tournament. Again, nobody has run away and hidden with the lead here. You know, you get a 5 or a 6 seed and continue to be hot. I'm saying stranger things have happened.
Right. And they've shown they can play with the best team in the league.
Yes. I mean, South Alabama's at the top right now. They played a really tough game against them, and they'll get them next week. App State is also at the top, and they played a tough game here at home against them, right? Troy's at the top, and they just beat them. That's the top 3 teams. And then Marshall's the 4th seed, and Southern Miss played them on the road a really tough game without Tavares. So Southern Miss has battled with those top 4 teams in the league. On the women's side, and I want to go back to why the women's game was such a big win for them as well. Now, the women's standings are a little bit more spread out. You know, Southern Miss 6 games back. But currently, they sit in 7th place in the league. They're only 1 game behind the 6th place holder, which is Texas State, who they just beat on Saturday. And coming up this week on Wednesday night, Southern Miss plays 4-22 Louisiana. So there's a chance to get another conference win before playing Troy on Saturday, who's 21-5 and one of the better teams in the league. But next week they get South Alabama, who isn't very good at 9-16, and then Monroe, who granted did just destroy Southern Miss the other night, but you know, still middle of the road Sun Belt team. You have a chance to end the season 2 or 3 wins there in your conference to potentially jumpstart you into the top 6 seed. We've talked all season about how you want to be in the 6. If you're in the top 6, you have a much better chance of somehow finding a way out of that tournament. And I think both men's and women's teams are in a position to potentially backdoor themselves into that 6 seed in the tournament.
But the women are going to have to do it all on the road.
Right? Yes, they have four remaining games all on the road.
And this past Saturday was senior day. And we always talk to you about so-go two players, Melanie Timms and Ja'Kayla Johnson, pretty much so-go the Lady Eagles. Ja'Kayla Johnson scored 26 points, but she had 24 of them in the second half. And Melanie Timms scored 20. All right. And Haley Breland put in 14. So you had three players in double digits. So although it's kind of been an up-and-down season – again, nobody has wanted to just grab the lead by the horns here in either the men's or the women's side. So it's still wide open, and we all know it comes down to that week in Pensacola. Yeah.
But if you can get to that week not playing five games, you know, if you could get to the top six seed, which both these teams have put themselves in a position to do, especially the men with how jumbled the jump. I mean, the men, I mean, if they went on a run like Kelly's talking about, they could end up with like the two or three seed, you know.
And this is crazy talk.
It is. Yeah. But now that's obviously would have to a lot of things go right. And I do not predict them on this show right now to be the two or three seed, but they can find a way to backdoor themselves into the top six, which I feel like if you're the five or the six, you're happy. You know, that's a lot better than playing four or five games if you're, let's say, the 10 or 11, like we all thought they were going to be coming into this week.
Well, that's impossible.
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, so.
And it should be. It should be.
Yeah, that's the point of the tournament.
Yeah, I really like the way the Sun Belt has set it up. All right, y'all get to come, but if your body of work stinks during the regular season, you're going to pay for it in your seeding in the postseason tournament. But no clear favorite on either the women's or the men's side, necessarily,
I
would
argue. I think the women probably have
more so than the men.
Yeah, like the women's, you know, Georgia Southern 12-2, 19-6, and Troy 12-2, 21-5. I think those two teams are far and away the best teams in the conference. The men's, you're right, where there's, I mean, you could pull a hat out of the straw with who's going to win that league in the men's. I mean, like we said, Southern Miss right now is ninth in the standings, and they sit three games back from first, which this far in the season, if you're talking about three games back from first and you have, what, three games left, right? You can make it up. You know, you obviously have to have a lot happen in front of you. But the key for Southern Miss is that they can find themselves backdooring that way into the top six.
Kelly, why don't you sacrifice for the Eagle Hour? Go spend 3 or 4 days down in Pensacola and cover the tournament for us.
Bob, do I have to sit on those sunny beaches and lay out there in my Speedo with my metal detector and my orthopedic socks? And we'll walk around on the beach.
Stop for just a second, Dima. Close your eyes and visualize Kelly in a Speedo and orthopedic socks.
With my metal detector.
That's probably as bad of a visualization of something else we visualized earlier.
Wouldn't that be against some kind of marine law or something?
Well, there should be. It should be. But and why?
They would think it's a whale washed up on the ocean.
That happened to him one time.
Yes.
He woke up and little kids were throwing buckets of water on him, going, save him, save him.
Still trying to find my blowhole, you know?
Why do you make that joke?
I would consider doing that, Bob.
Would you?
Yeah.
For the team.
I would take one for the team.
Would you really?
Sure.
Man, you're just nothing but a team player.
Well, we'll pay you 50 cents.
And then then I would be down there when the magic happens and we win it all.
Well, I'd love to see you down there.
Wouldn't that?
When we win it all, Kelly. Nothing would make me any happier than to see Jay Ladner win and Missy Builder back win the Sun Belt
Basketball. And I know people go, oh, yeah, whatever. But look, even some teams got to go.
You never know.
And the amount of money just making the NCAA field would mean for not only Southern Miss but the conference
and look,
as well.
Let me just say this one last thing about basketball. We were having this discussion at baseball this weekend, and I pointed out, you know, no.
Go ahead. Let's not get ahead of ourselves before we start talking about Southern Miss making the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah, well,
let's hold back the reins. Yeah. It was a nice win on Saturday, okay? It was a nice win. But let's hold back the reins a bit, okay?
Yeah. Golly. But you guys would agree. I mean, you know, it's not the end. The team is not 5-20.
Correct.
No, they're not.
The team has a really legitimate shot, as Dima pointed out, to finish the season above 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you consider that you lose your best player for half of the year – and you got a complete turnover roster.
See, and I hear what you're saying, Dima, but will you grant me that this team is better with Tavares back in the lineup?
Sure. That doesn't mean they're making the NCAA tournament, though.
All they got to do is win the tournament down in Pensacola.
Yeah, it's like six games in a row.
Not necessarily.
Have they won six games in a row this season?
Depends on where their seeding is.
Are you sensing a Sweet 16 type of run?
I'm just saying.
Let's at least cover them fairly.
Lyle Lovett.
We'll have to glaze them.
Lyle Lovett married Julia Roberts.
So anything can happen. I saw Lyle Lovett in concert last year.
Let me just say this. I'm not saying it's impossible.
Yeah.
But hold back the reins.
Just come on, quit being such a wet blanket.
Let me just say real quick, Lyle Lovett is a very talented musician, but one ugly-ass dude.
And so I'm saying the fact that she married him, Eagles could win it. They could win it.
Hey, softball had it. You know, they were in action. Track and field, we still got lots to talk about.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to be talking about the Ides of Troy.
Okay. I'm in.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Forest Health reminds you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun, of course, but the most important player is you. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home. ForestHealth.org. Spent some time Saturday, Kelly, with Hank Lott from MCS Home Center. And what would you tell people about MCS Home Center?
Well, if you need some reading glasses.
God, here we go.
Okay.
We're going down to peepers.
You just tossed that up for me.
Okay, no, I'll forget the peepers. But anything that you need in, on, or around your home, this is the easiest way to sum it up. You know, the elevator speech, 20 seconds. Anything you need in, on, or around your home, you can find it at MCS. But besides that, you can find local people who are eager to help you because they want to make you a lifetime customer, and I know I am.
Wow. He's good at that, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Isn't he?
Now, Dima thinks that I have been over-medicated because my thought that there's a shot that the men could win the conference tournament.
I have called your doctor. He's going to check. He's going to see you at 3:30.
Look, it might be unlikely.
Let's move on.
But I mean, it could happen.
All right, Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. All right, news and notes, Dima.
Yeah, let's start with the Ides of Troy this weekend. Troy, the preseason favorite to win the Sun Belt, dark horse to make it to Omaha. They opened their season with a 1-2, almost got swept by Mercer at home. And Blake Cavill, who was the preseason player of the year in the Sun Belt, and, by the way, was picked over Matthew Russo on the all-conference team. Let's go through his stats this weekend. One hit. This says six arguments with the umpire. 200 OPS, 0.83 slug, left seven on base, three strikeouts in a 65-game on-base streak snapped. And, guys, I just want to say one thing about Troy. Is we talked about Southern Miss's schedule being tough. Troy may not even be .500 when they come to Hattiesburg. Listen to this. They got Mississippi State tomorrow night at in Starkville. They host Campbell, who's a perennial college baseball tournament team. Then they get a little break and go to Georgia to face the Bulldogs. Then they play East Carolina on the road, who's another perennial tournament team. Then they play Vanderbilt on the road. And then they host Maryland, who's a Big Ten team, who was predicted to win the Big Ten, I believe. And then they go to Alabama before finally starting conference play with Old Dominion and then Southern Miss the next weekend. I mean,
I sure hate that for Troy.
There's a chance that Troy might not be .500, which we can give a lot of crap to Troy and stuff like that, but for your conference, you actually really do want them to be good, you know, for RPI purposes and stuff like that. That is a brutal starting schedule.
Speaking of Mississippi State, let me say this real quick, and I grew up in a Mississippi State family. I have a lot of respect for Mississippi State. Several of their fans were on the Southern Miss Baseball Facebook page last night and bragging about how many people they had at the games, blah, blah, blah. A message to you. No one on the Southern Miss baseball page gives a monkey's rear end about Mississippi State. stay on your own page. No one cares about your attendance and how awesome and great you are, and how if we would release tickets, there would be a maroon wave come into Hattiesburg in 2 weeks. Well, number one, we're not going to release the tickets. They're sold. There's not going to be a maroon wave at Pete Taylor Park. And bring yourself on down here. We look forward to having you down here.
I would like to encourage our Southern Miss season ticket holders, though, that if you're not going to go to the games,
don't sell them to state fans.
And give them to somebody that you know, a Southern Miss fan, that will come and put their butts in the seats.
100%.
You know? And you got to feel bad for Troy, because they scheduled – who was it?
Mercer. But Mercer's a decent team too. Like they've made the tournament a couple seasons in a row.
Yeah,
actually.
But when you look at that schedule,
right? But I'm saying like it's just
I don't
that's
feel
a
sorry for Troy.
That's a ridiculous opening schedule.
They
for
were
the
picked in an article I read 2 weeks or so ago. The dark horse team picked a dark horse from every conference, not the favorite, but a dark horse to get to Omaha. Guess who it was for the Sun Belt?
Yeah. Well, it probably wouldn't be anybody other than Troy, right? Because Coastal and Southern Miss aren't necessarily dark horses,
correct,
and you're not going to pick,
correct,
like, Marshall to go to Omaha.
Well, I think after they get through with that gauntlet, you just described,
they might
don't
not
need
be
to worry about going anywhere. Yeah.
And
said the doctor, maybe.
And speaking with some of our other media guys, you know, I think everybody's kind of questioning about Louisiana and South Al seem to be the big question marks. And I'm telling you, I did get to see Arkansas State play a little bit this weekend. Now, they didn't play a real strong team in Stony Brook, but Arkansas State's improved.
I saw a little bit of one of their games.
As you expected that they would.
Nice crowd, too.
Louisiana dropped the series to Missouri State this weekend, but it was a competitive series, so I think they're going to be back to being what they normally are, a pretty good
South
baseball
Owl,
team.
Did they start out well?
I didn't see their score, but I can pull it up while Kelly talks about softball.
We'll do it quickly.
Softball went 2-3 over the weekend. They are now. They had several games. That's the thing about softball is you can play like five games in a 2 or 3 day period. The weekend competition was Loyola Bethune-Cookman and St. John's, and they went 2-3 over the weekend. Two of the three losses came at the hands of St. John's. One of them did go extra innings, so they went 2-3 on the year. They are 6-5 overall.
South Alabama. 2-1 over University of South Carolina Upstate.
Okay. Well, they got off to a decent start.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that wraps up today. Great week coming. Daniel Stewart on the show tomorrow. Wednesday, Missy Builder back and Travis Creel. Thursday, Jay Ladner.
We get the varsity on this program.
We're going to line it up for you. Glenn Dyer is going to join us later in the week as well to give us his perspective of baseball. That wraps up Monday. We'll be back on Tuesday. We thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.